Hello, girls. We are going to do some Q&A today. I'm doing this over here in the Facebook group for the next few weeks so that you guys get an opportunity to do watch parties if you want to start one and talk about all the things. And we are going to, y'all, I'm losing my voice just a little bit. If you don't know, I've been talking a lot here lately. If you're watching the replay, that's okay. We always do these Facebook Lives. This Facebook Live is scheduled, so if you are brand new, this is an optional part of your training. Your job is to start number one in the Weight Loss Quick Start. Once you mark all your videos complete, you are sent an email, and then you are told to join the Facebook group. And then once you've joined the Facebook group, you're told to start the No BS Weight Loss Course. So just wanted to go over that. If you're one of my members who's been around a while and you're just like, oh my God, I remember what it was like to be a newbie. I would like to do that again. Maybe I've been face down in the pizza for a few days over the coronavirus, whatever's going on for you. If you want to have a newbie experience, it's really simple. We reset every single person on the Weight Loss Quick Start. I came up with a brand new program for everyone that takes the four basics in the planner down to the brass tacks. Like, you're not even doing all the four basics. You're not even doing it the way that we, like, it's brand new shit. So if you want to do that, all you have to do is go over to the Weight Loss Quick Start, go to pnptribe.com. It's like right in front of your damn face. You can't miss it. It's on the homepage. It says Step 1 Weight Loss Quick Start. You tap on that, you watch all the videos, you click complete, and you will be sent an email that will say, hey, congratulations, you finished. Now you're going to go and take No BS. That's all that's happening. So, like, if you're one of my members who's been here a while and you're all, like, wanting to do it like a newbie, that's exactly how you do it like a newbie, okay? Then, then you just start No BS. And these calls are all optional. So anytime you see me on Facebook, anytime you see me on a Zoom coaching call, your job is to get through the No BS. And then any of this stuff, if you want to listen to me on repeat, like a son of a bitch, you go for it. If you're like, oh my God, no, that's way too much information, then you wait until you get through No BS, or you wait until you get into No BS enough to where you feel comfortable layering in some of the calls and some of the coaching. That's how you do it, without overwhelm and with total clarity. So what we're going to do today is we're going to answer questions. So if you have questions, all you have to do is type in hashtag ask. Mary Jo, who is our community manager, she is going to give them to me so that I can see them, and then I am going to talk about all the things. Let me tell you guys what's coming up. So we have today's Q&A right now, which this is normally Coach MJ, but for the next few weeks, I will be doing the Q&As. I just feel like right now, with all the things going on in the world, that I don't know. Y'all can tell me if I'm wrong, but y'all might like hearing from me. In my head, everybody wants to hear from me. So, and I could just be having a big head, and I totally know that that happens too, but I wanted to be able to kind of step in and do a few things and just kind of just be a little bit more available to everyone. I'm usually pretty available as it is, but I know that between all the things going on in the world and everybody going through a lot of change and uncertainty right now and all the things, that it's sometimes just helpful to be able to hear from the queen, hear from the owner. So the coaches are tackling Ask Coaches. They are in the Facebook group a lot answering questions. They are also on office hours like beasts, and they're attending every one of my calls, and they are working all the chats and stuff. So we are all here for you, and just making the most of our quarantine time. I literally today I went out for a run. I will tell you, like, I know there's a lot going on in the world, but I think it's so important for all of us to also notice what's going right in the world right now, because our brains are only going to want to look for, like, all the uncertainty, what's coming at us, what's not safe, and all that kind of stuff. It's in hyperdrive right now looking for it. So no matter what you're, you know, if you're on the front line or whatever, especially if you're on the front lines, it's more important than ever for you to notice what is going right now. So I was running this morning and there's so many people in our neighborhood right now. Like, you just kind of forget how many neighbors you have, and you just forget that there's kids everywhere. Everybody was out, you know, getting a morning walk in, people that probably never get to do that kind of stuff because they go to work. And then on the sidewalks, the kids all over our neighborhood have been writing in chalk, like all kinds of corn, like wishing everybody, you know, stay strong through quarantine, just all kinds of stuff. And so I took a picture of one of them where the kids had put down, happy birthday to anyone who's quarantined on their birthday. I just thought it was sweet. They drew a rainbow. So that was like my thing today that I noticed on my run that I thought was like, this is the thing today that I'm super grateful for, that kids are getting an opportunity to play outside. They're getting an opportunity to have some time to do stuff like that because they don't always get that nowadays. They're in school like most of the time. So that was nice. Relationships weekend. We are putting it all together. So for those of you who are new, you don't know, but about a few weeks ago, Kathy and I did a 50-person live event here in Nashville with 50 of our members who paid to come here, and they wanted to really focus in on relationships. And so we had a great weekend. Like, we busted some relationship work out. And so what we decided this next month is, since everybody is like having to be with people that they're not used to being all the time, or they're separated from people that they really want to be with right now. And I think a lot of people, here's the third big thing that I think's going on. A lot of people had grudges and anger and all kinds of things with people. And right now they're starting to question all of it. Like, was it ever that important? So what we're going to do is, we decided that we were going to teach a full relationships virtual workshop in April to help people like just understand at a basic level what relationships are about, what are our thoughts about them, how they work, and just, you know, how do you make the most of them and stuff. So what we're going to do is, on April the 18th, it will be an all-day virtual workshop. So we will be on Zoom all day. In fact, I have been in an all-day virtual workshop myself today, cheating a little bit, getting into y'all's group and coaching, but I am learning how to make basically like more concise, clear videos. Like, this is it's a course that I'm taking that helps you really understand how to take somebody from one place in their journey to another, in their journey through video, and like making sure your message is clear. And so one of the things that I'm working on this year is taking all of our courses and really up-leveling them and refining them and figuring out like, what is the absolute message of this course? And what is the absolute message of this course, so that we can teach you guys, you know, at a really deep, meaningful level. So we will do that all day on Saturday. I think it's going to be, we have our tribe Q&A from 9 a.m. on that day, and then we will immediately start the virtual workshop right after that. So I'll do that, and then I'll jump on in. We're going to be doing it from 10 to 5. This is all on your calendar over in pnptribe.com. If you want to go to the training calendar, it's all there for you. And then on Sunday, we're going to do from noon until 3, more work on like whatever we need to finish up, and some coaching and things like that. So we're putting all of it together right now. It's going to be great. There will be a workbook that comes with it. So it's going to be really good. So y'all look forward to that. Let's do some questions. Julie, I'm having thoughts of what's the point. My primary goal was to get to Wonderland by camp. This was my goal. Now that camp is canceled, I'm struggling with my thoughts and coming up with models that are believable. Let me ask you this, Julie. So you have no desire to be in Wonderland anymore. You're only like, it was only camp. No, camp was a circumstance in the model. That's all it was. You had thoughts about your weight. You just removed camp. Like, you need to think about, like, camp was your goal. Like, camp was the deadline. Camp was when you wanted it to happen. But why? That's the question. Why was that so important? Like, you were using that as a motivator, And now you need to figure out, like, that was never the motivator. It was always my thoughts. Camp was a circumstance. My feeling was motivated. What was I thinking about my weight loss? What is it that I was thinking that was important to me? Why did I want it so bad? Why did I want Wonderland so bad? So I could show up at camp and feel this. So that I could show up at camp and know this about me. Whatever that is, you get to do that by that weekend, and you don't even have to travel to Nashville to make that happen. I think it's a really big misconception that a lot of us, no, the virtual relationship workshop, guys, that's included in your membership. I think there's a confusion in a lot of us that, like, our goal is what's important. It's really not. It's the feelings that we're going to get. Like, all of you think that your goal weight is what's important. No. Your goal weight, you need to ask yourself, what will I be feeling when I'm at this goal weight? I will be feeling pride, confidence, all these other things. That's really what you're after. You're not after a certain number. You're not after Wonderland at camp. That gives your brain a place to tether. Now you just need to have another tether place. Like, I'm going to be there by camp weekend anyway. And I'm not going to use the excuse that camp was canceled to just eat. That's ridiculous. That's what I would just tell myself. That's ridiculous. Now, if you're eating, like, what's the point? You need to tell yourself, what is the point of, but here's your question. What's the point in continuing when I know that I'm not going to Nashville? Let me list all the reasons why it's still important. Let me list all the reasons why it matters. Let me list the reasons why it will be sweeter to get to Wonderland by that weekend, doing it when I didn't even have camp as a goal. Those are the questions to ask yourself. I want you journaling on that. That's going to get your brain refocused right now. Your brain is just basically throwing a damn pity party because you're not coming to Nashville. It's like, okay, get over it. We still have hopes, dreams, and goals. We're not going to sit here and eat because we're not going to Nashville. We're not going to sit here and not make all of our dreams come true. We're going to not sit here and not feel confident, not feel proud, and all this other stuff because we're not coming to Nashville. Just lay the law down on your brain and say, no, this is what we're doing. You take the reins. Any tips as to how I can slow down my brain when I'm in the kitchen and subconsciously eating so I can actually make the decision to eat or not before I've swallowed it? Larissa, sticky notes for one. I would have sticky notes. Where are you eating this food? If you grab a plate, I'd probably put a sticky note on that cupboard. If you are nibbling on stuff, find the stuff you normally nibble on and put a damn note on it and say, subconscious eating, not today. Like, go write about it before, and then you can bring your currency. Like, I would just tell myself, like, the currency to eating is I have to have written about why I want to eat right now. But you need to come up with some tripwires for yourself if you're doing subconscious eating. You'll have to figure those out. You'll need to have, maybe, like, if you notice that you do it around the same time every day, have your phone go off with an alarm that says, don't eat. You have to turn your phone off. Find an accountability partner that you have to, like, send a picture to everything you eat. And if you catch yourself eating in the middle of it, then take a picture and send it to them. Don't be like, I don't want to send this one. Or whatever. It's like, no, tell your brain, like, no, we're going to woman up. We're going to send it. There's no reason to be ashamed. We're getting into the habit of making all this conscious. Guess what? Everybody has to be conscious. Even the ones that we're eating subconsciously right now. The only way for it to get into the conscious mode is for to do that. I recently began smoking in an effort to avoid stress eating. I realized, of course, that smoking isn't any healthier than overeating. Any advice? Yeah, stop smoking. Because here's the problem. Now I'm stress smoking. You didn't solve stress. You just picked up cigarettes and they're more expensive. Do you want to, like, this is the funny thing. It's like, well, I'm just going to stress smoke instead of, like, figuring out why I'm so stressed and working on not being so stressed. Smoking doesn't alleviate stress any faster than eating does. You know how we know this? Because if you kept eating or kept smoking, you'd be like, I'm stress-free. This is great. Everybody should start smoking. I don't worry about anything anymore. You know that bitch that just called me a name? I had a cigarette and it took all of it away. That's how ridiculous it is. We all think that shit works. It's like if you sit and gin yourself, this is how stress works. You're going to learn this in phase two of the no BS. Essentially, things happen in the world. Your brain interprets it with a sentence. That sentence is what's stressful. So like a lot of you probably think like traffic is stressful. Like, oh, fuck. Can't believe I'm having to sit here and waste time. If I just didn't have all this damn traffic, I'd be exercising. I'd be slaying the day. I'd be doing all the things. That's called stressful thinking. A lot of us will be like, ugh, traffic's so stressful. Shit. Did you know traffic is stressful? No. It's that bullshit layer of doo-doo you put on top of traffic that makes it stressful. Here's what I am in traffic. I wonder what podcast I'm going to listen to. If I'm going to have to be in the car, I might as well be listening to something. Boring. Snooze fest. I'm not stressed. And I'm not eating when I get to work or when I'm getting home or whatever it is, right? It's because I don't listen to, like, I don't have sentences that jack me up. Now, that doesn't mean that tomorrow you're going to be like, oh, it's all my thinking. So I just like, let's get rid of that and I'll be happy for the rest of my life. The first thing is that if you feel stress, you need to ask yourself, what sentences am I having right now that don't feel so great? Like, he's such an asshole and shouldn't say those things. This shouldn't be happening. All of those are very stressful thoughts. Like, I always love it when somebody says, this shouldn't be happening when it's happening. It's like, you have to think about the whole sentence itself. It makes absolute no sense. It's arguing with reality. It never works. Here's how it works. This shouldn't be happening to me. I feel terrible. And when I feel terrible, I usually eat terrible things. Or I do terrible things to my body. Or do terrible things to other people, like give them the silent treatment, yell, or whatever it is. Isolate myself. And then the result is I do things that I know I shouldn't do to myself. And that's how the life works. And so when we have the thought like, I shouldn't, or this shouldn't be happening, the easiest thought to ever replace that with is, this shouldn't be happening is something I'm thinking about something that is happening. It brings you into reality that this is happening. So do I want to keep fighting that it is, or do I want to figure out what I'm going to do about it? Because once you move into figuring out what you're going to do about it, you start solving. When you're arguing that it shouldn't be happening, we typically have no solving happening. We just add layers of things that we don't want happening on top of it. Let's see. Is there a minimum we should eat? I'm going between no appetite and then I do eat, then I want everything. So yeah, you eat 2 to 2. So in when you listen to phase one, when you get through your weight loss quick start, it's going to tell you if you're hungry, you eat. If you're not hungry, you don't eat. And then when you're satisfied or not full, like before you get full, you stop, even if you want everything. We're not giving you a single number. You know why? Because here's what happens. If I tell you how much to eat, that doesn't fix wanting everything. That makes you feel deprived. That's why calories blow up in our face all the damn time. And then when we're not hungry and we have all these points and calories to eat, we con ourselves into eating. We start tricking our body doesn't know what to do, and then our mind's in a fuck mode. So no, we don't have a certain amount. If you have no appetite, you do not eat. And for some of you who are brand new, Here's going to be the weird part in the beginning. Ain't nobody in this group metabolism going to die if you go a day or two without eating, because none of you were bitching your metabolism was going to die when you saddled up on a buffet or ate half a cheesecake or whatever it was that, you know, when we were all eating until our eyes rolled back into our head. Nobody was like, oh my God, after I ate all that, I think my metabolism's going to tank. No. Nobody's metabolism is tanking. But here's what happens in the beginning. When your body switches to consuming its own calories, like everybody think about that whole bag of Doritos we ate, and I don't mean lunchbox size, I mean Doritos. When we ate Doritos and washed it down with some soda, and then a couple hours later thought ice cream sounded good too, today, when you're actually listening for hunger, because that was all eaten because we had a bad day. We were probably sitting in the car having that stressful traffic conversation. And then at night, we were just like, oh, traffic blows. Not only did I have to do it in the morning, but I had to do it on the way home. And all I wanted to do was get home because my boss was a complete asswipe today. And he said this. Next thing we know, guess what? We're stressed out. We come home and it's Doritos, ice cream, and a soda for dinner. Today, when we're actually listening for hunger, and we're not hungry because we got all these stored calories from that night on our body, we ain't gonna get hungry. We call it dining in. Your body goes to work on you. Now, you may want to eat, but if you're not hungry, you don't. And for some of you, if you've got a lot of stored calories, you'll notice in the first couple of weeks, you're gonna eat dramatically less than you normally do. Because if you're only eating when you're hungry, it's gonna feel like the world's biggest mindfuck because you ain't been doing that. You've been eating when you wanted to, after a bad day, because everybody else was, it sounded good, it was a party, whatever it is. It's gonna look, when you only eat when you're hungry, it looks very different from when you're eating because of every whim you have. So there will be like your brain will explode and your brain will want to go to like, oh my God, like, am I going to get an eating disorder? I mean, it's been like 3 days and I've barely ate. No, none of that's going to happen. You just need to keep telling yourself, all I have to do is listen to my body, and then it's going to regulate, and then it's going to send you hunger signals when it's actually hungry. And then you just eat. And then you, like, I always tell people, I think the easiest, like, to me, the easiest way to figure out the eating is decide. Like, a lot of you can do both sides. You can really focus on waiting for hunger, and then you get really conscious about, you know, stopping when you're satisfied. For some of you, you need to break it down. Like, for 2 weeks, I won't eat until I'm hungry. That's going to be enough work for me, because I'm used to just eating for every reason known to man. So there's going to be a lot of mind management on that side. So for now, I focus on when I get hungry. And then if I stop at satisfied, great. If I clean my plate, at least I'm killing this side right now. Then after you get into a groove and you're no longer freaking out and you've gotten used to that part and all that kind of stuff, you can drop over to the stopping when you're satisfied side. So you get to do it either way. Just make sure that you pick like what's going to work for you. And you may even be like, you know what? First week or so, I'll try both sides. And if it's like, if it feels too hard, just like, all right, I'm going to pick one side and do that. Everybody who's been in here, it's like a thumbprint. Everybody in here has a very unique way that they make this work for them. Okay. How does drinking alcohol fit into the hunger scale? We plan it. So it's not part of the hunger scale. So you're just going to plan. If you want to drink, you're going to need to plan your drinks. You're going to need to plan how much you're going to drink. And you just need to understand that if you are going to keep drinks in, you need to watch your behavior. I don't tell people don't drink. I mean, I'm drinking tonight. I have it on my plan. So there you go. But what I need you to do is do like I've done in the past and what so many of the other girls have done, which is watch your patterns. If you notice that when you drink, you tend to like eat like a douchewad, we need to figure out why you're doing that. Is it because like you legit need to drink less because you have like a tipping point that turns you into shit eating? Or do you go into F it mode and judgment mode and start eating? if it's effort mode and judgment mode, we want to change how you're thinking about it. Like, it's on my plan and this is what I'm having. If I choose not to eat, drink all of it, that's fine, but I do have it on my plan. The other thing you do is you watch the scale. So when you weigh in on Fridays, everybody weighs in on Fridays here. I like Fridays. If you want to weigh a different day, you can, but we do it collectively on a Friday. And that's because I've always weighed in on Friday. So y'all always like, what? Why are we doing it on Friday? It's like, it always worked for me. So that's what I picked. There you go. So what I want you to think about is, like, when you weigh, if you're keeping alcohol in and your results aren't coming super fast and you look at your week and everything seems to be dialed but the drinks, then you can look at, well, maybe I won't drink every night, or maybe I'm only going to drink one glass a night, or I'm going to have like two nights it's one glass, one night it's two, and the other nights it's a break. It's a lot of playing with it to see, like, what can you do while the scale is creating the results you want. Now, this does not mean that every single week y'all gonna lose weight and all this other kind of bullshit. That's not what I'm saying. But we do use the scale as an indicator to, like, it's not about judgment. It's not about, like, I'm doing good, or I'm doing great, or I'm doing terrible, or whatever. It's nothing to do with that. We weigh, and then we look at all of our actions, and we just decide, is this the result that I want this week on the scale? If it's not, is there anything I can do or that I've been doing that I need to clean up a little, level up a little bit, or change just a little bit? So leveling up is simply like, if you are drinking two glasses of wine every single night, and that's what you've been planning, and that worked for the first month, and then month two, everything comes to a dead halt, but you aren't overeating, you're not doing anything else, you're like, all right, I'm going to go to, like, I'm going to drop two or three nights. I will drop two this week and see what happens. And you just start tweaking. Now that I'm working my way through the no BS since I joined, do I need to go through the whole no BS, including the maintenance stuff, before doing anything else? No, you don't have to do that. Like, this is what I tell people. If you want to participate in anything else and it will not overwhelm you, feel free to do it. Like, you're not going to, like, learn. Like, this is the nice thing about everything that's inside of our membership. You're not going to go listen to a course or attend a coaching call or whatever and it'd be like, oh my God, I went out of order and it fucked all my weight loss up. Everything helps. All of it. I'm just going to tell you. You could listen to any fucking thing that comes out of my mouth and the coach's mouth and stuff, and it can contribute. The no BS, though, is in an order. And it's really good for those of you who really just want to, like, have clarity and focus. And it's like, you know what? I just want to do these things. I advise all of the newbies, get through at least phase three. Phase four is good to listen to, but it can wait until you've lost at least your first 20, 25 pounds, or you get within striking distance of your goal and stuff. If you want to wait on that one, that's fine. But I always tell newbies, just divide yourself into one of two camps. Do I overwhelm easy or not? Like, I'm not one to get overwhelmed easy. I can start a course and I can watch the videos and attend every, like, check the Facebook group, and, like, I can watch all the bonus lives and, like, all the things, and just, like, take notes and put in what makes sense and I throw out what doesn't. That's how I do it. But that's how I do everything. Some people are like, no, I am all about some linear shit. I totally, like, overwhelm easy. I know me. I get jacked up. Then you don't be listening to all the things, and you don't even try to listen to all the things. You won't need to. I promise you, I repeat the same shit hundreds of thousands of times all the time. If you don't hear it this week, I promise you in 6 weeks, we will still be talking about the hunger scale. You're not going to miss some magic and be like, oh, if only on March 28th, at 2 p.m., I had attended that pop-up live, I bet I would have gotten my goal weight. No. I just always go with, you do your plan. You do your no BS. If you feel comfortable or you notice you're, like, having trouble with a concept, then you venture out carefully to video replays and you peruse and you search, like let's say you're binging. It's like, well, I've done module one, I've done module two. I've noticed I still binge some, like I really need to get more focus and clarity there. Then you go to the video replays and you look at videos about binging. It's very targeted for you. And you take notes. That's how I would do it. And last, if you have any confusion, you don't know what to do, go to Ask Coaches. Just go to Ask Coaches. You can ask in the Facebook group, or you can go to Ask Coaches. We'll tell you what to do. What's a good way to manage my mind about the uncertainty of the new normal? I had to close my business temporarily, and my brain wants to run wild with what ifs. All right, so I'm going to advise every single one of you to listen to this podcast if your brain is kind of like stressing out right now. My mentor has a podcast called The Life Coach School. If you go to thelifecoachschool.com, her podcast today called Pre-Traumatic Stress is really good. It explains the concept of, you know, in this situation, I would go to the what ifs, but I would write about them. I would literally write down, what are the worst case scenarios? What if this happens? What if this happens? What if this happens? Let it all out. The reason for doing this is because your brain is already trying to go there. And what a lot of us do is like, I don't want to think that because it feels so bad and I don't want to blah, 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 blah. And we fight with it and then we eat to try to turn it off. We're trying to not only turn off our argument we're having with ourselves, but we're trying to like somehow get away from the worst case scenario. It's like, I just think, let your brain have at it. And so if you write all that down, I did this the other day myself. I wrote down like, well, actually did 2 days. One day I had 13 and one day I had 12 of like worst case scenario type things. And so I just wrote all about like what I really thought might happen and how bad it could be. And that there was a sense of relief to just kind of like, okay, now I know what I keep thinking that's causing me some angst and stress. And then I normalize that, but like, and it's okay that I'm thinking that. Like, this is probably one of the times that it's like, it's okay to freak out. Like, that's the way the brain is designed. It would be weird if you had to close your business and all this stuff was going on. You're just like, oh my God, it's the best thing ever. I'm going to like take a vacation at home. And like, if you were just like pie in the sky, we would all be wondering, what's wrong with you? Are you doing drugs? If so, give it to us. So like understanding is there's nothing going wrong if you feel upset and you're going to the what ifs. What I want you to do though is just manage where your brain's going. Like if you're going to go to what ifs, let's just do it on purpose and so that we can learn from it and learn where our brain is coming from and not judge ourselves and not push it away and like really be okay with like, yeah, of course I'm scared. And I know I'm scared because I keep thinking all these things. And now that I see them, I can now go to work on, okay, so what might also happen? You don't have to go to pie in the sky. You don't have to go to everything's going to work out perfectly and my future is bright and all this other stuff. But just saying like, can we think something more positive? Like if, like I was talking to the doctors the other day, we did a doctor's call and one of their biggest, one of their biggest painful thoughts is like I'm being exposed all the time. And I just said, that's not useful. It feels really true. And I think it's really normal. But it's like one of those thoughts that we have to recognize that we're having and just been like, it's okay that I have that. And it's probably like one of the reasons why I'm running on so much adrenaline and fear. But I also want to know what else might be true. What else might be true is I'm doing everything I can to protect myself. Like I might be exposed, but I'm also doing a lot of things to protect myself. I might be exposed and I'll figure it out. Or, you know, I might be exposed and of course that would be scary. I mean, just anything else to kind of like tamp down just a thought that just feels very anxious and very real. Because this is not about putting a happy face on things, guys. It's about really understanding, how do you start thinking in ways that are very useful for you? I'm not ever going to try to minimize or take away your pain. If you want your pain, and you want to have it, I'm going to allow you to have it, right? I just want you to be very aware that the pain is coming from your brain, because the moment you really make that connection that it's my thinking, then you know that you're also your own solution. If it's not your thinking that's the problem, or it's not your thinking that's playing the key role in all of this, then the world has to start cooperating and being fixed on its own, and it's got to show up 100% all the time for you in order for you to feel good about yourself and to feel safe. And that's a big ask of the world. So far, the world hasn't been able to cooperate at all. The coronavirus is not the first time the world has let us down. Its job is not to take care of us. Our job is to take care of our own emotions. I'm single and I eat out a lot. My food at home is healthy right now. There is no eating out. So my 24-hour plans look like wishful thinking. I'm having no trouble sticking to them. I don't think if what you normally eat at Healthiest Home and you normally eat out, and if you're planning like what you would normally eat at home, I don't think that's wishful thinking. Like, I don't want all you guys joining and thinking I need to start planning some junk food. That's not what this is about. It's about you creating a realistic plan you feel like you can eat. If you feel like you can eat it, it's a realistic plan. I don't care if it's broccoli or a Big Mac, whatever it is. The realistic plan is about how confident you feel you will eat it. And on some days, that's broccoli. And on some days, that might be the Big Mac. But whatever it is, like the realistic plan is not about you coming in going, okay, I really like salads, but I need to be realistic. So I'm going to eat cheeseburgers. No. If you really like salads and it'll be okay to eat a salad, then you plan a salad. We don't go backward in our eating just because we're doing a realistic plan. It's unrealistic to go backward with your eating just to have that kind of food on your plan. That's not the purpose of it at all. Let's see. I'm having no trouble sticking to it. But it's starting to get boring. I don't know how to make this realistic and interesting since I can't eat out. I don't think you're supposed to make it interesting. That's not the point of the food. Your life is supposed to be interesting. Now, if you want to make it tasty or something, then I would just post and say, like, I need some good recipes. Who's got some really tasty, healthy recipes? That's one thing. But if it's getting boring because you're eating it all the time, you just need a new recipe. You don't need to, like, start eating other stuff. I mean, that's the biggest thing that I'm noticing is you're wanting your food to entertain you. Food is not entertainment. That's not its role. Like, we can enjoy cooking and we can do all that stuff, but if you're like, I'm just really bored with it and it's uninteresting, I want you to ask yourself, but what else is interesting in my life right now? Like, if you had replacement interesting things, would you need so much entertainment from your food? I just ate the most boring lunch ever. I had a stick of cheese and some nuts because I was in a virtual workshop and I just didn't have time to eat anything else. But I was in an interesting workshop, so I was okay with a boring meal. I didn't need to be entertained by it. Now, this is not to say that I want all of you not liking your food, because that is not what I'm talking about. I just don't want you finding your excitement and your fun and your interesting and all that kind of stuff. Like, I really want you guys to think about this a little bit bigger. I want you finding like your passions and your love and your like excitement in your life, in your life. If cooking is a part of that, I think that's great. Because if you're passionate about cooking and you love cooking and stuff, you'll love cooking healthy things too. You'll find it to be a challenge. You'll be doing all the stuff. All right. Letitia, what do you mean? I think I could go backward after joining. Why do you think joining this member, the No BS program, is going to make you go backwards? Because nothing makes anybody go backwards. It's a decision to go backward. Like, all you did was join. Now you got to have a thought, and it can't be, this might make me go backwards. That's never going to serve you. Tell me what you mean by that, because that's going to bother mama. Are you considering adding another camp this year since April was canceled? I considered it. There's just no way to do it. The hotels and stuff, we can't get space. We have it didn't make me. Yeah, I don't know. Letitia, if we have a problem, you let me know. We tried, but we have July wide open. So if you guys want to come to an event, come to July. It's wide open right now. I would get in because we got newbies coming in for the next week. And that one, because so many people could not come to the April, they're starting to now sign up for the July. And I know that, like, we can't all be 100% certain and all this other kind of stuff. But, you know, I'm planning on it. I'm planning on it being a beast mode one because I didn't get mine in April. And July is my birthday month. So there you go. I've lost 60 pounds in the last 14 months with you. I love you. Thank you, Robin. Question. The last 4 months, I've noticed that my weight pattern is that I only lose 2 to 4 pounds 1 week a month, the week after my period. Then I maintain until the next month. Is this typical? Examine the data. I do the same habits all month, but only lose that 1 week. There is a phenomenon called the whoosh. And this is where just some people have like 2 to 3 weeks that their body typically holds on. And because yours is around your period, I am just wondering if yours is just hormonal and that's just the way your body likes to release its weight. When I was losing, and it's funny because you said you've lost 60 pounds, that last, like, mine was around the last, like, 25, 30 pounds. Mine whooshed a lot. Like, I would have several weeks I wouldn't lose, and then I would just drop. And then I'd have several weeks I would lose, and then I would just drop. I think mine had more to do with because at that point I had fell in love with exercise. And so I was doing some little triathlons and little things like that. And I think mine was my body making sure that I was properly fueled for like all the training. And then when I would have weeks where I did less training, I think my body would relax into, okay, it's time to let go of a little fat. We've been giving her plenty of energy and fuel and that kind of thing. So yes, it's normal for a variety of reasons. As long as you're losing, I would not worry about it. If the scale is causing drama, the scale never causes drama. I don't know who asked this, but whoever you are, if you will read, I was talking to somebody about this today, Kelly, look up Kelly Oldham, Oldham. Look for her post today about the scale. If somebody, like Mary Jo, well, I don't want to market in announcements. It might confuse everyone. Go to that post, if you can, copy and paste my responses in here. I talked about this today. Scales do not cause drama. Here's what happens. I get on the scale. I allow myself to have very dramatic thoughts about whatever I say or I see. So I get on, my brain goes to the pooper. Now, you're going to learn here that you have to take over at that point. You're going to get on the scale, the brain will go to the pooper. You will now redirect your brain and you will think all kinds of horseshit that you don't believe yet because you've been thinking this way forever and you think the scale's doing it to you to boot, which it's not. So thought change number one, the scale causes drama. Oh, now my new thought is scale can't do shit. Drama on me. Then the second thing will be whatever your drama that comes in, all the little things that you think, like, this is not fast enough, this is never going to be good enough, I should have lost more, I worked so hard this week, like, all of that is the next level. So you list all that out. And then you got to have a recant for every single one of them. Like, this isn't fast enough. It's like, all I'm interested in is losing this shit for good. Like, you got to have, like, thoughts that you're going to have about that. And then you'll practice them every single week. So, if I was y'all, if I had a piece of paper, I'd have dramatic thoughts here, new thoughts here. I'd get on the scale. I'd get off. And I would read all my new thoughts every single time. I would consciously redirect my brain to think like someone who's getting ready to lose weight. Rather than getting on the scale every week and think like someone who's scared to death they're not going to lose weight. You want to be someone who thinks like they're going to lose weight? You got to train yourself to do so. We don't just magically have this happen. Oh, you did see it in the Facebook. Never mind. You saw it in the Facebook. But I've been avoiding the scale to avoid the drama. Should I try to address the thoughts instead? Always address the thoughts. I just told you. But yes, always address the thoughts. That is exactly what we want to be doing. You're every one of you are here because the diet industry has never taught you how to address your thoughts around losing weight. The problem has never been keto or calories or any of that stuff. And we all know why. Because at some point we got on the scale, had shitty thoughts and ate. At some point somebody invited us out to eat and we wanted to go and we threw a fit in our brain that we shouldn't be losing weight right now. We should live a little. Like, all of that is the problem. And we've never been taught how to find all those things that we think that keep us from changing, like our food identity and how to just eat normally and eat like a thin person and eat like somebody who's going to lose their weight and actually fucking like the life and love how they roll. That's why you're here. I'm working on my last 15 pounds. Weekday eating was good, but shitty weekend eating. Following the 24-hour plan, lost 5 pounds this month. Well, good. So what we want to do is we just want to clean up the weekend eating. So what you're going to need is to make sure that your weekend plans are very realistic. I would go back to your weekend where you like overate and stuff, and I would list as much as you can remember. And this is going to sound crazy to every newbie, but all my oldies, you're going to be like, oh yeah, here it comes. Plan binging. But the shit works and that's why we do it. You are going to write down all that shit you eat and then you're going to make a plan. And you are going to write every bit of that on your plan. And when it's staring you in the face and it's time to eat, because the last time you did it, it was all fun and games. It's like, fuck this. I've lost some weight. I'm going to just eat. Like your brain had all the crazy thoughts that allowed you to just eat without caring about it. Now you're going to eat it on purpose. And it's not as fun. It sounds like it might be to some of you. You're like, oh, this is awesome. All the pizza. You're going to put all the pizza on there, whatever it is. And then when you eat it, you have to like eat all the things that are on the plan. If you're not hungry and you decide not to, like if you, like this is what will happen. You will put all this shit on the plan and you're like, okay, it's time for my like wine and the chips and the dip, meaning queso, not salsa, the carton of ice cream, whatever it is, the roll of cookie dough, whatever it is you get down on, right? And you're going to do it. And then your brain, it's going to be like, why are we eating all this stuff? I thought you just joined that damn membership. I thought you were trying to lose weight. Your brain will go to argue for your goals. Before, your brain was arguing for Easy Street. The problem that all of us run into is that when we're not eating on purpose, then we don't have the conversation about our goals until after we did all the eating. And then it's like, you're never going to lose weight eating shit like that. I can't believe you did that, blah, blah, blah. That conversation becomes very judgmental after the fact. I want that to be in your, like, I want that conversation to happen before you eat. Where it's like saying, oh my gosh, like you have goals, you have these things, do you really want to eat it? Or you'll start eating and you'll be like, this isn't as fun when we're eating it on purpose because you're not tuning out anymore. Your brain is going to be having a conversation that you're probably not going to like, and you're going to want to stop eating to stop that conversation. Whereas before, you're having a conversation you don't like and you start eating to end that conversation. So that's how we do it. Any solutions for insomnia? I'm dedicated to getting myself into bed in time. I would post in the Facebook group to see what other people do that works, because there are 1,000 things that you could do. Like seriously, everybody in here, there's nothing like a good talk about sleep. So they all have different tips and tricks. I would actually post that in here, and then that way you can get a lot of advice from people that have had trouble with insomnia. Is it sad that I get annoyed as hell when I am not hungry? It's not sad. I think it's useless for you. Like, I want you to listen to what you just said. So is it sad? It's like there's a judgment of yourself for not liking not being hungry. So it's like, not only do I not like not being hungry, but now I don't like me for not liking not being hungry. That's a lot. You're going to want to like not try to lose weight if you judge the reactions you have to the things you're experiencing. And that's all that's happening. So I want you to like drop that part first. It's not sad. It's just what's happening. So like you're annoyed. You just need to ask, why is it so annoying? It's because I think these things. Figure out what you think about it. And then you need to go back and you'll question like, is that what I really want to think about food? Is that what I really want to think about hunger and not being hungry? Because it seems to me if I want to lose weight, being hungry would be helpful. Like it will help me. And like you start having that conversation. My husband is insistent on taking people to the doctor's office as part of his job when he should be in self-quarantine. I'm so scared that he brings the virus to our home because he refuses to slow down and live in New York. He says he doesn't want to lose his job. Valerie, this is like a good one for Ask Coaches, honestly, because this is like a coaching type question. You have a couple of things, like you think he should be in self-quarantine. I know that's going to feel very real to you because of your fears about what might happen. But here's what we know. He shouldn't be in self-quarantine because he's not doing it. That's one of those little bitty thoughts that I was talking about earlier that's driving you personally insane. Now, it doesn't mean that you need to be like, all like, I'm so glad he's driving people to the thing. But what you can do is you can just identify that me thinking he should be doing something different annoys me, upsets me, frustrates me. So if he's going to continue to be who he is and he's going to continue to do as he does, even after I've requested him not do it, how do I want to think about this? Like, you might just have to think like, okay, he may bring something into the house. How would I respond? He, like, these things, like, this is where you go to that, almost like that worst case scenario. What are the worst things that are going to happen if he continues to do this? And then you work through how you would respond to all of it so that your brain can see you can handle anything. There's always, this is not to say that you're problem solving it or making it okay, but what you're doing is you're allowing your brain to go to work on like, even if my worst fears come true, I get to feel in control that I could handle things. That is where that's the benefit for you on the internal side. It's not to condone, but it allows you to have a sense of calm and control. And it gets you off of spiraling in something that you can't control, which is trying to make another human being behave the way you want them to behave at your request. So I think the other part of this, what I would just take it to Ask Coaches, is just like, as you think about letting go of the thought he should be in quarantine, you could always neutralize this to he's choosing not to quarantine for his job. Like, you may not agree with it. You may not like it. But it's different than he should be doing something different. You at least go to, this is what's happening. He's choosing not to because of his job. I don't have to like his reasons. But that's very different than arguing with reality. Arguing with reality always feels defeating. And I don't want you sitting around trying to lose weight while feeling defeated. I want you sitting around trying to lose weight by learning how to take a look at your life and decide to think on purpose and decide to like, okay, if worst case scenarios happen, here's how I'm going to handle it. And here's the other benefit for all of you when you do this work. I guarantee you, if you list all the worst case scenarios, most of you are not going to list, here's how I'd handle it. I would first order a pizza and I would tell them to drop it off on the front porch. Next, Shipt would bring all the ice cream. Then I would take my mother to the hospital. I want you guys to see, when you're doing your worst case scenario stuff, food is not a solution that your brain actually does on purpose. Food is the solution that your brain's doing when it's not dealing with things head on. when you are fighting it and resisting it. I think this is important work for all of us as we're losing weight. It's some of the most important work we can do. If I'm not hungry, can I have a glass of wine instead of a meal? Only if you planned it. No. That would be like saying, like, if I'm not hungry, can I have cheesecake instead of my meal? It's the same thing. You don't get, like, you eat your plan. And if you're not hungry, guess what? You don't eat your plan. That's it. You don't get to, like, throw some booze in there. Then this is what I would ask myself. Why would I want to drink? If I'm not hungry, why would I want to substitute alcohol? What is that about? Like, ask yourself that from a really curious place. Like, what makes me want to drink instead? What do I think it's going to do for me? It's probably going to take your mind off something or whatever. Find that out, because that's really important. Nighttime eating is my issue. When it wasn't an issue before, then you need to ask yourself why. Like, if you're all of you who are eating at night, you need to ask yourself, when I'm eating at night, it's because I don't want to feel what? Like, and the best way to figure that out, like, and let me tell you, here's the penalty. If you're like, well, I don't know, Corinne. Guess what? You don't eat and you sit down with a piece of paper and your brain, it'll cry uncle. It will tell you. You can figure it out by spending one night without the food, and it will tell you all the things. Like, the reason why I want to eat at night is so that I get to feel this, or the reason why I want to eat at night is so I can stop feeling this way. This is the two most powerful questions you can ask yourself when you are overeating. Write about it. It will show you exactly the path of what's wrong right now that you need to solve. If you were losing weight before you joined, and somehow you stop losing when you join, it is not because of the membership. It is because you start doing different things. Figure that out. What were you doing before versus what you're doing now? Most of you, like, if this ever happens, this happens every now and then. You'll come in and you'll start listening to all the things, and this will be the thought shift. Before, it was just like, I'm just losing weight the easy way. And now you join, like, oh, I'm going to have to do all this. Now's the time to start doing all my emotional work. I'm going to have to, like, really start dealing with my issues. And when you talk like that, what the fuck you think you're going to want to do? If you talk like you're a fucking shit show, are you going to want to, like, go smell it? No. Like, nothing changes. You come in, and we're still going to do it the easy way. You know what makes it easy? When you figure out little thoughts that make you feel better or make you feel bad, and we change them over to ones that make you feel better. Well, that sounds pretty easy. Like, you can't allow yourself to sit there and be like, but I got deep-rooted ones, man. Like, I've been doing the basics, Corinne, but now I need to get to all my skeletons. Stop that. Ain't nobody got deep-rooted shit. Ain't nobody got skeletons. And nobody's got all that stuff. Here's how I know. Because when you bring that stuff in, describing it that way, tell me in one word how that feels. If you were thinking, I got so much trauma back there, it's like a trauma trunk. Skeletons. Many of them. You don't know. The roots run deep. Tell me how that feels, y'all. Somebody type some feelings in there. I want to see what you guys come up with. Because I'm going to guarantee you, ain't nobody going to be putting motivated, optimistic, hopeful. No, none of you will be putting those words in there. It will all feel terrible. My thing's all jammed up. I can't see any comments. But I'm just going to guess some of it's like hard, depressing. Thank you, Linda. Like a downer. Yeah, like if you have the overwhelming, If you have thoughts of when you come in here, shit's gotten real now. This is going to be the hard part of it. You're going to avoid doing hard work. You're not going to want to do it. And it's all because of how you're describing it. You could just be saying, man, I'm here. It's time to put that shit to bed. I'm excited to see what this is going to be about. You could be thinking about that stuff too. You could be thinking about like all your past, all your like diet mentality, all your eating bullshit, whatever it is, right? Like lump all of it into a big ass ball. You could be thinking, and now's the time I'm going to get to say goodbye to all of it. Corinne's going to teach me how. That's a way better way to be thinking about it than I'm going to need to like get on one of them coaching calls and cry, and I'm probably going to be really nervous, and they're going to like reach into my soul. I ain't that powerful. I can't reach into nobody's soul. If you're on the same roller coaster of 5 pounds, you need to look at, I want to know, like there, we have calls. Mary Jo, post some of the calls in here on people that have been diddling with the same 5 pounds. I believe we, like, you need to listen to those. Let me look on the website. If you go to pnptribe.com, y'all, and you go to video replays, and you click on calls by subject. Now, I know some of you might be new, but I'm just going to, like, give you some of this stuff. Let's look at overeating. We might have it there. Ooh, I bet it might be underneath the struggle bus. It may be on the struggle bus. Well, here's one. Butt drinking is so fun. Eating at night. What's left when you're not overeating is another good one. That was all underneath the overeating, over drinking button. Let's see what the struggle bus has for all of us. I know what to do. I'm just not doing it. I keep gaining and losing the same 5 pounds. So if you will go to the video replays, what we do is we categorize a lot of calls that are like what we call the big ones, like the big whammies, right? And we put the top 5 all time in there, and you can click on it and it will say like, I keep gaining and losing the same 5 pounds. Stalls and plateaus are totally bustable, and this video will show you how. Whoever I talked about for the weekends, underneath that call is you. Do you think weekends are harder than the rest of the week? Weekends are 30% of your weight loss week. So nailing them and learning how to keep them from fun are everything. Watch and learn as I coach someone to go from blowing it to figuring it out. So there you go. The other thing, Mary Jo, we make sure the coaches note that we have had some really good calls here lately that we may have another couple of buttons we might want to create or update a few of them. Okay, let me get back to my questions. Manubi, I've been practicing 2 to 2 for roughly a year. I've needed to focus on my hunger cues since joining. I found that I'm getting full after not eating much, but I'm feeling hungry or -2 around 2 to 3 hours later. Is that okay? I've seen a lot of talk about breaking the eating 6 times a day rule. It's fine. You may want to see if maybe you might need to add a little fat into what you're eating. That might get you a little more time. You also could, maybe you're like, if you're losing weight at like if you're losing weight and you're doing this and you like it, then I wouldn't change anything. If you are losing weight and you really would like to eat less meals, then what I would do is try eating just a touch more and see if it'll buy you another hour or so. It's just a lot of playing with it. And you're, guys, all of you, your hunger scale, you're going to have it dialed in for about a month. And guess what? You're going to lose some weight, then shit's going to change again. Always be open for the signals to start changing or for you to be like, oh my gosh, like now I eat even less and now I eat even less. Like hunger scale changes all the time. And the smaller you get, prepare thyself right now. The smaller you are, the less food it takes to get your body moving around. So now is the time to have a reckoning with just eating what you need, not everything that you want. We're going to work really hard on that the next couple weeks or next few weeks. why do I get hungry so often? I start to feel hunger as little as 2 hours later I eat unless I overeat. This is normal. You need to, we need to see what you're actually eating. If you're not eating enough protein and fat with a meal, if you tend to eat more on the carby side, that could be it. And I don't mean healthy carbs, but I'm not saying we have to take away your processed carbs, but you do have to understand that if you're eating like not very many vegetables and you're not injecting fat just yet and you're not having some protein, your body burns through processed carbs really fast and you might not have a blunter. And that's what that usually indicates. And let me do a couple more and then we'll get out of here, y'all. If you didn't get to your question, all you got to do is post it in the group and we will get it answered for you. I know what I need to do to lose weight, but lately I feel unmotivated to do the work. How do I get the motivation back? I just literally on the struggle bus, there's one called I'm Just Not Motivated. It coaches someone on how to quit waiting for their motivation. You have to earn it. The biggest thing, Michelle, is you have to get into some kind of action. So a lot of times people are not motivated because they have thoughts that are keeping them demotivated. Like you'll have a lot of like, I should be doing more, or like your idea of what you need to do is like freaking overwhelming and huge. And so you never look forward to doing it because like in your mind, in order to lose weight, it's like, well, I'm not going to be able to eat what I want each day and I'm going to have to do that damn plan. And you know, that thing takes like 3 minutes but your brain says more like 3 turns into 30. Like your script about what it's going to take to get started is probably poop. Like, you'll be able to say, like, well, I need to eat the basics. I need to drink my water. I need to go to bed and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, okay, so what are your thoughts about getting all that started? Well, it's just so tiring. It's just so hard. And it's like, why is it hard? Why is it hard to do those things? Because I don't get to do these things. I don't get to do this. All of that is demotivating. Finding those thoughts and questioning them is what's demotivating. And then what you do is you decide, okay, I was going to start with just something super easy that I could tell myself. I may not love it, but I know my thoughts are the only thing standing in my way. What could I start with? That's usually super helpful. You can go to that weight loss quick start, and that will even break your basics down into even more small, doable chunks. How do I get everything out when I journal? I start writing, then feel caught, feeling scared to really go there mentally. I would just tell yourself, like, going there is scary, because I think these things will happen. Like, what's the worst that's going to happen if you go there? A lot of you are like, well, I'm probably going to be sad for the rest of my life. And I'll start crying uncontrollably and never be able to stop. And you have to look at all of that and just be like, oh, I'm really going to cry for the rest of my life. Oh, I'm really going to like, this is the thing that I tell everybody. You can go there on paper or not. Your brain, it's already gone there. And it goes there probably 50,000 times a day. It starts going there, and then you go straight to the kitchen. It starts going there, you go do something else. It starts going there, and it's like, I always tell people, unchecked thoughts on paper equal scale going up. Because if you're not checking it on paper and arguing with it and telling a new story about it and changing your perspective on it and going to bat for who you want to be, you will eat to avoid who you think you are. I'm still binging late at night. It's more like I eat in a fog now that I don't really get up, that I don't get up early. Is there something I can do to not eat late at night? We need to get it conscious. So you need to put those binges on a plan. You need to put them on a plan. You need to do plan binge for that. Like if you're eating in the middle of the night, you need to like have your plan laid out of what you normally eat. And you need to have your planner sitting on the counter so that when you go to get it, it's all right there. Like we've got to get it conscious. Can't get it conscious just thinking about it. I just finished my supper while watching this newbie learning the 2-2. I stopped at the first side and have side 4 more times. How do I tell if this was +2 or past +2. I feel satisfied to full, even though my brain says I could easily go to town on more pork chops and asparagus, but my stomach feels done and full. You're done. Here's how you know. You think you're done. That's it. Like you're just questioning it. Your brain, your body is saying, I think we're done. And you're going, but is it really? It's like, what is the harm in stopping? The only harm in stopping right now is you don't go to town. You have to sit with not going to town. That's the harm. That's it. So you just, like, guys, for all of you, if you think you're done, especially in the beginning stages, be done. It's like, all right. The only way to find out if that's the true plus two is at some point you have to stop eating to see if it is. You'll know in a few hours. Either it was or it wasn't. The worst case scenario is it wasn't, and in 2 hours you're hungry, get another pork chop or some asparagus. If you don't want a pork chop and an asparagus in 2 hours, guess what? You ain't hungry then either. You just want something. All right, guys, that's all. I got all of y'all. Awesome. I will see everybody 9 a.m. Saturday, March 20th. Oh, wait, that's the wrong day. Let me put today on there. I will see everybody March 28th at 12 p.m. Central Time on Saturday. We will be doing the working from home time blocking Q&A with me. So if you're new, you do not need to come to this. But if you have been around a while, this is what we're doing. I gave all of you a time blocking bonus in the Mastering Time course a few weeks ago. It was last week, where I taught you my method of time blocking and I gave you my business planner. So if you go to the COVID resources right now, the COVID virus resources, and you look up Mastering Time videos, three and four. It's the one that's called time blocking, and I tell you how to do the worksheets. If you're interested in understanding more about time blocking, you have questions, you want coaching on it, come to the call. But I would make sure you have watched that class beforehand. It's not really long. I think it's might be 40 minutes total between the two videos. I kept it short. So, and if you want to come and talk to me. Now, if you're a beginner and you're like, well, I would like to do some time blocking. I would like to know all this stuff and whatnot. Here's what I want you to do. If you want to watch it, you're more than welcome to watch that stuff. But if you are going to get overwhelmed, or you are going to go to the time blocking class or watch the time blocking videos so that you can diddle with other stuff and not learn how to quit overeating, do not do it. Here's what we know. That course ain't going nowhere. My bonus call will be in the replays and in the course. You can listen to it later. But please do not show up there if you're going to get so busy consuming content and not stopping your overeating. That is a no. All right. Y'all have a good one. I'll see you soon. Bye, y'all.